نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So our first program was a long session, and before that also we had the khatam of the Quran Sharif, and mashallah the dua, may Allah Ta'ala accept. So tonight we won't have such a long program, just a little bit of advices, and once again we engage in a little bit of dua. But we had discussed previously with regards to developing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different techniques that we can implement in order to inculcate the mahabbat of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And developing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a requirement. It is something that we should have. It is something that drives the person. And even when we say fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ulama Ikram explained that that fear of Allah should be born out of love. It is a fear that is born out of love. In this, you know, world of love relationships, you'll find that a person, he's afraid that he must not upset his beloved. So that fear is not like the fear of some kind of a lion or you know, predator or something of that nature. It is fear which is born out of love, that I cannot bear to displease my beloved Allah. And this is something that, you know, we should aspire to achieve. And when a person develops the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, you know, your life becomes enjoyable. A person enjoys everything. Because as I had mentioned with regards to Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he said that once he was sitting with his sheikh and they were eating dal. And whilst they were eating the simple dal, he said, Hakim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha. I'm getting the enjoyment of biryani in this dal. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib asked his sheikh, that Hazrat, how are you getting the enjoyment of biryani in the dal? He says that I'm thinking to myself that my beloved Allah is giving strength to my hand. And this dal, Allah gave it to me. So I feel as if my beloved Allah is feeding me. So even in this world, if the beloved has to put a simple sweet in the mouth, even if it's a cheap life sweet, but just that that feeling of the beloved putting the sweet in the mouth, the person doesn't even know what sweet he ate. He doesn't even know what sweet. It's not the sweet. It's the beloved that fed the person. So Mawlana Yunus Sahib used to say, because of our sins and because of our lack of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we eat biryani and we don't even get the taste of dal in the biryani. We don't even get the taste of dal in that biryani. So subhanallah, may Allah Ta'ala bless us with his mahabbat, with his love. And in order to achieve this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we spoke about trying to, you know, count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one's life. If you keep on counting the favors of a person, then you incline to that person. You know, this person did this for me, he did that for me, he did this for me. So what happens? You start respecting the person, you start admiring the person, you start inclining to that person. If we can learn to focus on Allah Ta'ala's favors upon us, and then when we focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors, then that would also drive us to start appreciating and recognizing the kindness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, we spoke about, you know, sitting in the company of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you sit in the company of people who love football, then what happens? After a while, you'll also start inclining to football. You'll also develop an interest. That's why they say, dood walo se kya milta hai? Dood. Kapre walo se kya milta hai? Kapre. Aur Allah walo se kya milta hai? Allah. So if the person sits in the company of the ashiks of Allah Ta'ala, then the person will develop the love of Allah Subhanahu. The person will start developing an interest, you know, in relation to the mahabbat and the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then there are many other things that a person can do. Tawbah, the person who makes tawbah, at-ta'ibu habibullah. The person who regularly and constantly repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person becomes the beloved of Allah ta'ala, and it's a mutual thing. When Allah loves someone, that person begins to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were discussing finally the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbi nafiyya, that my love becomes compulsory, becomes wajib for those two people who love one another for my pleasure. The love for each other is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There's no ulterior motive. Today, generally, our relationships are driven by some motive or the other. What can I get out of this person? What can I, you know, I'll get, I need to get something in return. But if that muhabbat is for the Allah's pleasure and Allah alone, then Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat becomes compulsory upon them. And not only that, وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ Those people who sit together for my pleasure. They sit together for my pleasure. So now, mashallah, all of us who are seated here, and our mothers and sisters who may be listening, they are sitting and listening, or whatever it may be. Why are we sitting? It's not like Maulana is distributing some gold coins or something, yeah? The only reason we're sitting here is that we want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to secure the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seating is for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. So inshallah, this seating will be a means of also acquiring the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ That those people who visit one another for my pleasure. Look at the beauty of Islam. You know, we mentioned, you see, shaitan, he doesn't want us to go to Jannat. So he paints this image that you can't, it's not for you. Jannat is not for you. There's no hope for you. All this that the Maulana and then I'm talking about, this is too hard for us. We can't follow these things. But the reality is that deen is so easy. And that is what our late, for example, Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi Hakim Akhtar Sahib used to say. He said, leave all those heavy, heavy things. One thing you do, just stay away from sins. That's all. All effort is on staying away from sins. All these big wazifas and, you know, heavy, heavy things that you have to do, then leave all of that. They used to make it very easy. He said, just stay away from sins. In fact, Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, he used to crack a lot of jokes in his talks. And I still remember in the early days that, you know, there were people who were objecting. And what kind of a sheikh is this? He's cracking jokes in his talk, you know. So he used to say, haste hasate hue Allah tak poncha de. That we will laugh and we will make you laugh, but we will reach Allah Ta'ala. We will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was, you know, there was such a balance in his life. I still remember that the 27th night of Ramadan, mashallah, Masjid al-Nur, there used to be a tremendous crowd. The entire masjid would be full. In fact, they would have carpets in that parking area. Those who've been to Masjid al-Nur will know there's a parking area behind. There would be carpets there and people would be sitting in that area. The mics would be put on there as well. That's the kind of crowd there would be. And, you know, the dua would be intense and, you know, people would be crying and ibadah. But then when Maulana would come to the last session now, which is now at the time of tahajjud, there would be a session. And, you know, at that time, you know, the whole night people were engaged in ibadah. You see, Maulana understood the nature of people. And Maulana generally would be very light-hearted at that time. And Maulana's famous one practically every year. Even I mentioned it last year too here. So Maulana would speak about, for example, when you want to change your life, then you should pledge allegiance, take bayat on the hands of some sheikh. But he said, but make sure when you're choosing that sheikh, you choose the right sheikh. First of all, when we're choosing a sheikh, there must be compatibility. There must be compatibility between that sheikh. Now, if that sheikh is now on such a level that you can't even talk to him, then what's the point? You know, if you have a problem and you choose a doctor who doesn't speak English, you know, he doesn't speak English. Now you go there, you try to explain to him what's the problem, and he's talking to you in French or some other language. So what happens? You don't know what he said. He told you take the tablet 3 times a day. You thought he said you must take it 5 times a day. You know. So what happens? If there's no compatibility there, you're not going to benefit. In fact, sometimes it may be more harmful for you. So they used to say that make sure that the blood group is matching. That is why, as a Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah, I say, don't ever make the shkil when it comes to somebody becoming bayat to your sheikh. Because the blood group has to match. So many people, somebody made the tashkil to become bayat to the sheikh, and then after a little while, the Maulana, I don't have munasabat with this person. That's not my mizaj. His temperament, you know, is such, I can't even relate to. He doesn't even keep a cell phone. You know, that sheikh doesn't even drive, for example. He doesn't know what's happening with the community. I just feel like I don't have compatibility. So there has to be compatibility between that. And the other thing is that you have to make sure that that sheikh is somebody that people are benefiting from. You can see people's lives are changing. People are making tawbah and istighfar. It's not that, you know, instead of people changing, they're getting worse. So if you know that the doctor, this doctor, they say there was one Hakim, whenever he used to go past the graveyard, so he used to cover his eyes. So somebody asked him, why are you covering your eyes? He said, most of the people in this grave, they ended up here because of my medication. So you know, now if this doctor, most of the people are, you know, he's a cardiologist, but 99% of the patients never wake up from after his operation. So will you go to him? You won't submit yourself to him. So in the same way, now you look for the sheikh that's a genuine sheikh and people are changing. And then you also get bogus sheikhs. There's so many of these bogus people. So Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah gave the example. There was one bogus sheikh. He was only after the money of the murid. That's all he was interested, the money. You know, because it can become a nice scheme where you get a lot of murids and they all now shower you with gifts. You can, you know, build your new, extend your house and do lots of things. So he had one murid who was very sincere. But he was only after the murid's money. So what he did was, you know, he, one day his murid came to him and said, Hazrat, you know, I saw a dream. And in this dream, I saw that there were two jars. In the one jar, there was honey. And in the other jar, there was stool. There was feces. And I saw that, you know, your finger was in the jar of honey. And my finger was in the jar of the feces. So the sheikh said, Bilkul wazi baat hai. It's absolutely clear. That, you know, we are people of the akhirah, people of purity. Aur aap log and you people are, you know, people of dunya. And you are immersed in all of this. He said, but Hazrat, the dream is not finished. After that, I saw that I was sucking your finger and you were sucking my finger. So the moral of the dream was that, you know, the murid was sincere and really after to establish a link with Allah Ta'ala, and that the sheikh was only after the money of the murid. There's another murid went to the sheikh, and or rather the sheikh came to the murid's house and they had a program there, so he stayed by the murid. So one day went, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, the sheikh is not going. So now the murid got worried because now all the chickens, everything's getting finished now. How is he going to manage? So he, you know, devised a plot. He came to the sheikh, said, Hazrat, I'm very, very sad. He said, why are you sad? He said, you're not going to come back to my house. You're not going to come back to my house. They said, no, you are one of my favorite murids. I'll definitely come back. He said, no, Hazrat, you're not going to come back to my home. And, you know, so much of barakat when you come. And you're not going to come back to my house. And I said, no, you definitely, you are on my list. I'll always come to your house. And they eventually said, Hazrat, but you first have to go. Then you can come back. First you need to go. Then afterwards you can come back. So the point is that deen becomes very easy. It's a balanced deen. A person becomes perfectly balanced. He can go and visit others too. But that visiting is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ That you visit one another for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though when you're visiting, you're talking about general thing, you're talking about, you know, the weather, you're talking about, you know, the latest geopolitical situation. As long as the person is not committing any sin. Nothing wrong with that. You visited just to sit with friends, you know, to be happy. This is part and parcel of deen, of shariat. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding in the final part of that hadith. وَالْمُتَبَادِرِينَ فِيَّ That those individuals who spend on one another for my pleasure, that you learn to spend on each other. And buying a gift, Nabi Sassim said in one hadith sharif, تَحَادَوْ تَحَابُ That give gifts to one another, this will create muhabbat for each other. And that gift doesn't have to be given in a very specific way or structured way. It can be a simple little gift, but it must be given with sincerity. Allah Ta'ala, give us sincerity. But just to give the brothers an understanding, once while I was a student, we're still students, but I had come to Durban to, you know, spend some time with Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali. And I didn't know what to, I wanted to bring a gift for Hazrat, so I bought socks. I bought, you know, socks. Maulana used to like to wear white socks. I still remember I came in Maulana's home and I was sitting there and then I presented this gift. So Maulana opened the gift and he started smiling. So he said that just before you came, I told Appa that we need to go to the shop. I think Maulana mentioned Macro. We need to go to Macro because I need to buy socks. I need to buy socks. So the point is that you give a gift, it doesn't have to be something, you know, very elaborate. Sometimes a little gift which is given sincerely, then, you know, that creates mahabbat between the two people. One brother came to our late Maulana Hospital Sahib Rahmatullah Ali outside in the parking area. And he presented a envelope to Hazrat Maulana out of the way, just so it happened I was there. And I knew this brother. Maulana was very particular about just accepting gifts from people he didn't know. Because Maulana wanted to protect his sincerity and he didn't want that his programs were for any, you know, ulterior motives. So this brother presented the envelope to Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana didn't accept it. Because Maulana was particular that if the gift was given in front of everyone, then that too there is a doubt that why is the person presenting the gift in front of everyone? Is there, you know, is he trying to make some sort of statement? So Maulana was, he refused. But then this brother felt a bit offended. And as I mentioned, Maulana was very, very, you know, perceptive and very particular about the emotions of others. So Maulana saw this person, he gave it a little bit of thought, he said, well, come here. And then Maulana opened the envelope and he took a few notes. There were a few, you know, 100 rand notes inside. Maulana just took a few notes, probably about, 200 rand or whatever it was. And Maulana, I think it was 200 rand. Maulana said, right, I accepted some and I give the rest back to you. The next day he came to Maulana, he says, Maulana, you know, I was just so amazed. Because, you know, it's Allah's doing. That actually, I intended initially to give you 200 rand as a gift. But then I thought to myself that, you know what, 200 rand is a bit too little. So let me just put a few more notes. So like the 200 rand that I put was like genuinely, that was like sincerely I was supposed to give it to you. And the other 300 rand, I was just, there was another motive behind it. And Allah made it such that you only accepted that 200 rand. The point is that when we're giving gifts then too, it doesn't have to be, it should be born out of the mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That gift will have an impact. So learn to give gifts to one another also for Allah ta'ala's pleasure, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, by virtue of that, Allah's mahabbat will become wajib upon you. May Allah ta'ala bless us with His mahabbat and with the mahabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Oh Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah. Tonight, Ya Allah, it is the last of the odd nights, Ya Allah, the last program, Ya Allah. These brothers, despite Ya Allah having sat for a long dua after the Taraweeh Salah and a program, these brothers and sisters are still raising their begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not deprive them, Ya Allah. Grant them much, much more, Ya Allah, than they desired, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their good desires, Ya Allah. Bless them with your muhabbat, with your ma'rifat, Ya Allah. In this month of Ramadan, accept our tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. Accept, Ya Allah, our zikrullah. Accept the programs. Accept our taraweeh. Accept all the good deeds that we had done, Ya Allah. And definitely, Ya Allah, we did not do justice to this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we did not do justice to our salah, Ya Allah. We did not do justice to the tilawat of the Quran and Majid, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, who can really do justice to your worship, Ya Allah? But oh Allah, our weak efforts, Ya Allah, you know that our intention was, Ya Allah, to worship you as best as we could, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you accept our weak efforts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our efforts that are defective, you accepted and overlooked our weaknesses, Ya Allah. Overlook, Ya Allah, our deficiencies, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, this masjid, Ya Allah, and this musalla, Ya Allah, accept all the programs that took place from here, Ya Allah. Make this musalla a markaz of hidayat, Ya Allah. All the trustees and the administrators of this musalla who made it possible for these programs to take place, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those brothers who are in the khidmat, Ya Allah, you accept their service, Ya Allah. In the late part of the night, Ya Allah, they were serving the others, they were serving the brothers, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you make it a means of, Ya Allah, the maghfirat, Ya Allah, and hasana fi dunya wal akhirah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fulfill all our good desires and aspirations. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.